Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to teach on the love of God today. We heard message from Minister Corey last week. I asked him to bring a message on love. He brought a great word on love abounds. And I began this series talking about love wins. And today we're going to talk about the God kind of love. Say the God kind of love. We say that because there are different other kinds of love too. So we're talking about the God kind of love. Let's read together if you can see the screen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. You can see it. Read with me. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who he fears has not been made perfect in love. Amen. The God kind of love, there's all kinds of influences in this world today. Many examples we have before us are not healthy examples. We have to be intentional at looking at the people, at God, at those examples where we see true love manifested. And we know in this culture, man, there's a lot of information. There's misinformation. There's education. There's miseducation. You know, Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. And I want to suggest that true love is a narrow path. It's a narrow path. Even though the word love is used in all kinds of ways, we have to be intentional when the text says that God is love. Say, God is love.
God is love.
Then it said, he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Mm-hmm. So then we want to, you know, even though we're going to use this word and we hear the word often, we want to be sure we're talking about or thinking about the God kind of love. Say the God kind of love. Because it's easy to be confused. I remember I was doing something. Maybe I was flying a drone, a couple years ago, and somebody walked up on me and said, "Oh, don't you love it?" I said, "No, I don't love it. I like it." You know? "Oh, come on, you love it." I mean, come on now. You know, people love to try to get you to think what they want you to think. I said, "No, I like it. You know, I love people and I like things. I do not love things. I don't love anything. I love people. You can't get me to love things or food or anything." And I may slip up and say I love it. I didn't mean to say that. I mean to say I like it. I may like it a lot. But then that's a whole different thing than love. We have to keep love in a very special place in our thinking, in our hearts. Amen. Because the world needs to understand God is love. And that means he's not all this stuff over here. He's not all this other stuff going on. That's not God. You know what I'm saying? And people sometimes they'll throw God's name and stuff, and they'll have somebody put an album out, you know, rapper, all kind of cussing and swearing in it. On the back it says, you know, thank God. What God are you talking about? So God didn't inspire that foolishness. So then let's be clear. Say God is love. Yeah, keep that on your mind, okay? Now, there are, the God kind of love has three things. The God kind of love has a definition, it has a benefit, and it has a purpose. First of all, the best definition of love is understood by what God did. Read with me John 3:16, I'll quote it from memory. It says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You have to define love by what God has done. You define love by what people do. Love has feelings, emotions, and all that goes with it, but it doesn't come before what is actually done. And so so when it says here, for God so loved that he gave. That's a definition of love right there. We can go deeper than that, but no need to, because when you understand what God has done, you understand what love is. Amen? Amen. Second, love is the benefit. The benefit of love is seen through the people who have done the most for you. And this so happens that you may be aware that on yesterday, the young lady, Coco Gauff, won the Women's U.S. Open, Tennis Open. The U.S. Open is one of the four major tournaments that happen in tennis during the year. There's Wimbledon, the Australian, and the French. But the U.S. Open is the most prestigious. It's the biggest. And it's the one that Americans want to win. It's the home field, you know what I'm saying? So this young lady went forth and she won. I want to play for you this clip, and I had to test this, different versions, because YouTube is strict about playing copyrighted stuff. So I made a version that YouTube did not reject. I had to test this thing, test it until it came back, said, no problems, all right? So this is a version you'll hear, mostly audio. A very brief video clip, but listen, because see, love, the benefit of love is seen through the people who have done the most for you. I'll watch this clip.
This was a heartbreak for me, but I realized, you know, God puts you through tribulations and trials, and this makes this moment even more sweeter than I can imagine.
We saw you say a prayer, get on your knees. You have a lot of faith. How important has that been through this journey for you?
Oh, it's been so important. You know, I don't pray for results. I just ask that, you know, I get the strength to give it my all, and whatever happens, happens. I'm so blessed in this life. So I'm just thankful for this moment. Like, I don't have any words for it, to be honest.
And what about your team? You had a great embrace with your mom and dad. They've been with you through thick and thin. Your brothers are back at home, your grandmother. What message do you have for all of them?
Can I take the mic for this one?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. God. Well, thank you first to my parents. Today was the first time I've ever seen my dad cry. he doesn't want me to tell you all that. But he got caught in 4K. You know, he thinks he's so hard, but you know, it's not. So thank you guys. I mean, you believed in me from the beginning. I've been coming to this tournament. My dad took me to this tournament, sitting right there watching Venus and Serena compete. So it's really incredible to be on this stage. And I want to thank my grandparents who are home and my brothers. I FaceTimed my brother right after, but he didn't answer. But then he called. And he called me later, but I had to go. So thank you to those who are watching. And then the last couple things I want to say. Honestly, thank you to the people who didn't believe in me. I mean, like a month ago, I won a 500 title, and people said I would stop at that. 2 weeks ago, I won a 1,000 title, and people were saying that was the biggest it was going to get. So three weeks later, I'm here with this trophy right now. You know, I've tried my best to carry this with grace, and I've been doing my best. So honestly, to those who thought we were putting water on my fire, you're really adding gas to it. And now I'm really burning so bright right now.
Let me emphasize, young lady is 19 years old. Her name is Corey Dion Gauff is her full name, real name. And so I wanted to share that because, you know, it put the slide back up again, the benefit of love is. You see a parent sitting there, and love is seen through the people who have done the most for you. And that's your parents, usually, amen? Others as well, but mainly your parents. So, again, let's be clear about what love is. There's feelings all up in it, but it's not essentially about feelings. Talked about that in the first message we brought in this series. So then understand that love is manifested. Third point here is that the purpose of love is summarized again in the words from Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. So love has definition, love has benefit, love has purpose. It is not complicated. It is very simple. Love gives. What does love do?
Gives.
Love gives. Now, ingredients to the God kind of love. Again, God so loved that he gave. The God kind of love is universal and not selective. Think about God's love. You find yourself loving people who even don't respect you, don't treat you well, because love is not selective. All right, and I don't have to be involved with people, you know, who are not right, so to speak. But it doesn't prevent me from loving people. Right. If it's understood, we think that love means you have to, you know, shower people with things and words. And no, it does not mean that. It means that you would do something for them if called upon, if need be. It may even mean that you don't feel so much for that person either, because love isn't feeling always. It means, in fact, I will do for you. I will help you. I will give to you. I will serve you. Amen. And that's a mature kind of love. Jesus said, if you only love people who love you back, what is that? It's nothing. Right? So love can't be, okay, I'm going to love you if you love me. That's not the God kind of love. So then again, love is universal, not selective. Second here is that love is sacrificial and not selfish. I remember we were in Africa the last time we were in Kenya. We were ministering in the northern Kenya, one of the villages up there. And so we brought some food, some grain. We had things we brought to help the people. We purchased, in fact, items and brought it to the town. And we were also, we had a few little snacks and things, you know, for the kids. And so I remember we were giving out, I forget what it was. Maybe it was, I forget what it was. It was just like cookies or something like that. Well, a child came to us asking for cookies or a pack of cookies, whatever it was. And then I gave him a pack and I watched him, okay? First thing he did was he ran over to where his brothers and sisters were, and he broke off pieces and gave it to them. What he got from me, he went straight. I'm talking about a child. I'm talking about, I don't know how, 8, 9, 10 years old. Went straight to others and broke off pieces and gave them what I gave him. That's love. Amen. That's love. So it's sacrificial. It's not selfish, right? You know that now some kids now, you know, over here, give a kid a pack of cookies, man, look out. All y'all stand back. These are my cookies, you know. Now, all of us have that little that selfish spirit in us. It's like this. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, you know. We have to train children not to be like that. We've got to train them to share, because human instinct is to hoard it. But of course, my experience in Africa was, I mean, circumstances also train you. Because certainly, you know, if he gave his siblings or friends some, they're going to give him some later. They learn these things. So then love is sacrificial, not selfish. Third, love gives and doesn't take. Say, love gives and doesn't take. You don't have to take, because when you're living in love, really the God kind of love, you have provision. Amen. You got enough for yourself. You always have enough for yourself. Amen. And so you're always able to give because you never feel desperate. Never feel desperate. You can always share and bless somebody, you know, because you don't have that desperation, because love, the love of God, has equipped and empowered you. So you feel at peace and you feel protected and provided for. And so you don't have to take. You can just focus on giving. However, the world's kind of love is narrow and highly selective. It is stingy and selfish. It takes and gives mainly for selfish gain. If it gives, it's for selfish gain. So that's the world's kind of love. We know that too, don't we? We see it, we experience it. But it's important for us to recognize that the love of God, it gives, and it is not selfish, praise God. Because again, for God loved the world so much that he did what? He gave. And God gave the best he had. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, Jesus came down from heaven into the earth, became Emmanuel, God with us, left all the blessings, you know, of heavenly existence, as it were, and wrapped himself in this burdensome flesh. Come on, somebody. You know, we don't like inconvenience. Say amen, Americans. Man, we the softest pillows up in here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wish I could take y'all on a mission trip. You know, just take you, let you experience it. You know, it's a lot of fun, and it's interesting too. You go to the hotel, and there's a lizard going up the wall. It ain't bothering nobody. I mean, a small one, you know. And you go to bed and pull a net around the bed, cause the mosquitoes all up in there. Pull that net. Now you mess around, don't close that net, and go to sleep. You wake up with like bumps all over you, because one mosquito eat you up all night. He's like, ooh, I got it all to myself. Amen. Come on, somebody. Time for the shower. Oh, you better hold on now. Turn the hot water heater on first. Let it warm up. Then turn the shower on. Because in the hotel, you don't get hot water all the time. You got to ask for it. Turn the switch on. Wait for it. Now, this is not, they have Marriott's and Hilton's and stuff. I'm talking about in real life. I'm talking about in the part where you're ministering to people at. We were in Hotel Excellence. Deacon Ingram, he knows, he was there with me one trip. This was to Nigeria. All I'm saying is, you know, all of us in this life, whatever you experienced growing up was normal to you. My dad told me he had a dirt floor as a young man. But they didn't see themselves as poor. You know, when you're blessed by God, you don't really see your condition the way other people see your condition. So don't feel sorry for the folks in Africa and Kenya. They feel sorry for us. We are so soft. Amen, somebody? Pastor in Nigeria, in Lagos, Pastor Ikwunzi, I showed him some pictures. He saw a picture where somebody had a dog in the house. He's like, who? A dog in the house? So it's just different culture. But what happens, the love of God lets you embrace everybody where they are, as they are. Amen, somebody. And so that we get to this place where we can give and not judge people, walk with people where they walk. Amen. Accept discomforts, accept inconvenience. Amen. Amen. Because it's going to be temporary. I don't live here. I'm African American. I'm going to Africa. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I am way more American than African. I need my Starbucks, my big easy chair, big TV. Oh, Pastor, let's go. I'll take you over there. You come back thinking the same way. You're going to thank God for where you are. If I was born and raised in there, or God said live there, I can make all the adjustments. I really could. But I don't live there. I live here. And so the love of God helps you to adapt. Say love of God. Helps me to adapt. I love our culture, African American culture, because we understand many cultures. Man, we can go to the fine restaurant and sip on the Coca-Cola or whatever y'all sip, you know what I'm saying? And put that finger up, you know, and fine dine. Or you can go to the hole in the wall in the hood and get some barbecue. You can sit with people in Carmel or 25th and Clifton. totally comfortable, no issues. Hang with white folk, black folk, rich folk, poor folk, everybody the same to us. I love that about our culture. It's unique, really. It really is. And it equips you to be able to serve people and love people where they are, as they are. Let's go on now. So then, the benefits of the God kind of love. Let's explore that more deeply. We're going to take 4 points, and I'll be finished after these 4 points. Not 4 short points, but 4 points. And taking our text, we began in John, 1 John 4:16. Let's take the text here that says, "He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Say, "I abide in God, because God abides in me." So what this means is that we embody the life of God. I should say the life of God. That is, in our bodies, through the Spirit, is the life of God in us. That's a blessing to think about, y'all. That's amazing to think about. And so, because we embody the life and the love of God, then we can express it. So it's not difficult. Again, this is what, September? We've got now, we see the harvest coming up in the fields. We see the fruit trees bearing fruit, the apple trees. And we told you, I think back last spring, we don't see any apple trees sweating and straining, trying to be an apple tree, trying to bring forth apples. If it's cared for, if it's nourished, at this time of year, you begin to see apples or begin to really reap apples, right? So because we embody the life and love of God, then we can share love. It isn't hard to love if you have God in you. Make sense? It's hard to love if God isn't in you the way Christ wants him to be. Second is that this love, this character of God, this love of God causes you to grow and mature. Amen. We grow and mature because that same love is in us. Number three is this love gives you boldness. Again, it says love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. The whole idea, the whole concept that when you abide in love, you abide in God, and God abides in you is the answer to almost everything you're dealing with right now or will encounter. Because if it comes down to, can I handle it? The answer is no. If it's about, can God in me handle it? Yes. Amen. We can handle this. And so that boldness is not arrogance. You know, you listen to, you heard Coco Gauff, how she shared, you watch her play, and she's a cute young lady and beautiful young lady and obviously very kind and sweet. But when she's playing, you know what I'm saying? That person across the net is in a whole world of trouble. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to win. And I listened to her discussions about, she, by the way, she beat the world number one ranked player. That's who she beat, number one rank, okay? And so she was talking about how hard she serves. So she's, you know, she's one of a bigger woman, served the ball fast. She said, well, I just backed up a little bit. Yeah, I just backed up. She said, I play guys all the time. Coco, I play guys. And guys, you know, are stronger, bigger. So she just backed up, gave herself more room. Hit it back. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, she's just smart like that. And so this is what happens. Love gives you boldness. You got to understand boldness is important, not to brag about or talk about, but to have it in you. The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when nobody's chasing them. All right, let's go on there. Number four. Again, he who abides in God, he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. All right. Number four, there's no fear in love. We read this last week. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Because he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So then I understand when he says no fear in love and perfect love casts out fear. Don't start thinking, OK, wow, I got to get my love perfected. I got to perfect my love so I can overcome this fear. You got it all backwards. It's not your love we're talking about. We just read. If you, you know, it's God's love. God is love. He abides in you. You abide in him. And so whatever you need, he's providing it. So it's that love of God. It's the God's love that takes your fear away. Like we said to you last week, you know, as children, you know, we had, well, as parents, I'll say, sometimes children are afraid of storms and lightning and things and thunder. And so we go into the room and the child's, we pick, hold the child and the child feels safe through the parent's love. And so there's no fear in love, no fear in God's love. Say no fear in God's love. That's what he's talking about. Not your love, God's love. He can perfect his love in us, but all begins with God. Amen, somebody? So he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect means mature. You haven't grown up into the fact of whose love we're talking about. Now, our next text will deal with that. John 21. Let's talk about, finish up right here, about what love is, how Peter found out. See, everybody thinks they know what love is. Everyone says, I have faith and I have love. Folk just say it all the time. I got faith. I got love, you know, and don't even examine it. So Peter was like that. Peter's one of those guys. You know, Peter was a lot like us. He was the kind of guy who just knew, he thought he knew things until he didn't know. Amen, somebody? All right, watch this. So John 21, now read the whole chapter is context. I'm going to jump in here at verse 15. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now, imagine a moment. Jesus asked the question, and Peter answered it. Yes, of course. Yeah. I love God. I'm full of love. I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then a second time, he asked, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, tend to my sheep. And then look at this, verse 17. And he said to him a third time, say third time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter be like, hold on now. Well, hold up. Wait a minute. Bible says Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? I already told you I love you. I told you twice. I told you that I feel love for you. I feel it in my bones. I love you. And Jesus said to him, well, he kept talking. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What's all this about? It's really quite simple. When you understand what love is, Peter was talking about love based on his feelings. You know I love you. Using words, expressing a feeling. Lord, you know I love you. And each time Jesus said, feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. You get it? So while, here's the last slide. So while Peter was love was based in his feelings, Jesus wanted Peter to learn to let love be in his what? Actions. Feelings are okay, but it's really easy to let your feelings outrun what you're actually doing. That goes for everything. Even our marriages, even, you know, I love my wife. Oh, I love my wife. Love my wife. What have you done for her? I told her I loved her. You know, I gave her a card. Yeah, the car thing is nice, but, you know, you got to step it up. Amen, somebody. wife and I watching a TV show. What show was that? With the
neighborhood.
Yeah, okay. And so, you know, they've been married all these years and never had a honeymoon. 30 years, I guess, something like that. And she wanted to go to Spain. What's it, Spain? You know, he's like, we can go to San Diego, you know what I'm saying? I love you, you know. But she wanted more. Amen. And he got it done. It was a funny story. The point though is, you know, it's not love, isn't just about giving gifts or taking trips. Now it's part of it now, men. Amen, brothers. Amen. You know, I mean, she wants something. She wanna go someplace sometimes, okay? But really, I like this text because we're understanding every time Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, I love you." You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Now, here's what should have happened. The first time Jesus said, "Do you love me?" and Peter said, "Yes," and Christ said, "Feed my sheep," Peter should have said, "I'm on it. Where do I go? Tell me where to go first, second, third, fourth." That's what should have happened right there. Now, Peter, you know, he ended up getting it right. They all did. But I love the text because it proves the point we're making that the God kind of love, the words are there, the feelings are there, but it's the actions that define our love. Amen, somebody? See, my actions define my love. You know, we as men and fathers and providers, you know, we're not always touchy-feely. And we men sometimes think, I love you. Yeah, I paid all them bills, you know what I'm saying, and bought you food. We talking about you, which really is love, you know what I'm saying? But it's not only that, you know what I'm saying? You look at that, Gaylor, you look back. Although I will say, once you become a grown man, young man, it shifts. Paradox, the paradigm shifts a little bit, okay? It do shift, okay? You got a job and a car and a house, so you're off. You're out of my pocket. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. But I hope you understand the message. I'm done, but I hope you understand the point we're trying to make here. It's not a hard point to make. It's just sometime we have to remind ourselves that as Jesus reminded Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Don't keep telling me you love me. You're not stepping into the responsibility of it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Father, thank you for the word today, for reminding us, Lord God, of the God kind of love and how it's not anything like this society and worlds and cultures kind of love. Thank you, Father God, for the example we see and all around us, Lord, and in our own lives as parents and children, how we've experienced your love, benefited from your love, Lord God. We understand the definition, the benefit, and the purpose of this love. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and you giving Christ as the example of what love is. For God loved the world so much that he gave. You gave us your Son. And Lord, there's no better example of love than that. So Lord, thank you that you put your Spirit in us, and we abide in you, you abide in us, so we can walk out the very principles we've learned about on today. We thank you, Lord God.